I've got the knife. Look at it. You have the scar. I should have stitched. Now feel the love. Cut so quick. My open wound. The blood runs thick. But you look good. I feel shit. So I've got the knife. I'm holding it. I've got the knife.
Don't you open it.
Look at it.
This wound runs deep.
You have the scar.
To save your stitches.
I should have stitched.
This love is over.
Now feel the love.
And don't you open it.
Cut so quick.
So that was Hush the Many playing live at BBC One, and it was a song called The Knife. And now I'm going to play you something called Story End Clip.
Mm-hmm.
That was Story End Clip by Hush the Many, Heed the Few. And luckily we have in the studio now our guest who has arrived into artistic style very late. Thank you for joining us though.
Hello, thanks for having me.
So how was it getting here?
It was all right. It was just missing a train by 20 seconds and then having to wait for another 15 minutes for another one.
Well, it's terrible being an artist because you're not trained to be, you know, mechanical and arrive on time and take the train 2 minutes, you know.
Training's terrible, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they teach you, isn't it? When you've got to work in the office or be a journalist or something and arrive on time, they always said to us, you have to get two trains before, so if you miss it. But it's not Iranian, is it?
No, it's definitely not Iranian.
No, because in Iranian culture, you should be late.
I think it tends to happen, whether you like it or not, most of the time. No, I really generally, having been mostly late everywhere for most of my life, I'm sort of getting to the stage where it's just really frustrating every time now.
No, well, you have to either accept it or do something about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, we're fine.
I think,
we forgive
I think it's
you.
Time optimism is the main thing. I'm just always a bit too optimistic. So.
Yeah, mate, that's a nice trait. So we were listening to The Knife from the BBC One slot, which you've done with your band Hush the Many.
Yeah.
And that's had a lot of success recently, has it? Tell us about, you got some awards, you've been to a lot of festivals.
The band, you mean, in general? Yeah, it's been going very well, I suppose. It's festivals-wise, we have played at most of my favourite festivals in the UK, so that's really nice to have done. And we just released our second single about a month and a half ago, and yeah, that came out really nicely with our first video and some really lovely artwork by some talented people doing it with us, and it felt very collaborative. So yeah, it all felt like it sort of came together very naturally, and it seems that like the people that have been coming to the shows have been enjoying it, even though it's changed, become, you know, probably there's times where we've been on stage and we've done it without drums and just two or three of us, and there's times where we've been on stage as six or seven of us and made very loud noises, and it seems like the people who've liked one have usually still liked the other as well. So yeah, that's been quite nice to do and just have no agenda doing it.
We've had loads of festival gigs, absolutely loads.
Everywhere I've been, I've seen you. Yeah, I mean, it's a bit more quiet for us this summer. We were going to do three. One of them, unfortunately, got cancelled, the whole festival did. And that was a really lovely little festival called Blissfields that I went to last year personally. And then the other two, Secret Garden and End of the Road Festival, they're actually two of my favourite festivals in the UK, and we're lucky enough to have played at them the last couple of years running as well, so they feel really sort of special and close to, I think, a few of our hearts. So, yeah, really looking forward to those. And then we're going to have a really big show on October the 14th when we come back to London, but that's miles away, so I'm not going to think about that just yet.
Forward planning, not fun. So tell us about your solo project, Sliding Wall.
I guess when you play in a band, Hush the Many's not always the most rehearsed outfit, like quite purposefully. We like to keep things fresh where we can, but when you rehearse in a band, it's generally reasonably structured, so you know, you all know you're going to change chord at the same time, you all know that, you know, at this point it's going to hit some sort of chorus or section in the song. And and for me, with Sliding Rule, which I usually sort of play with an acoustic guitar but then with a lot of loop pedals, and that gives me the freedom to like use a violin bow on my guitar while there's a loop going, or use dulcimer beaters on my guitar, which makes it sound a bit like a piano, and do all these other things. The great thing about being on your own and with that kind of setup means that you can sort of twist and turn as you wish, like, and not think about it at all, and just keep it totally free. So if there's a certain section that is really sort of flowing and kind of growing as it goes along, then I'll just kind of go with it if I want to, or if there's something that I just suddenly decide to change, I can. And I'm not going to throw anyone off around me. No one's like waiting on any move or waiting for a chorus or waiting for, so you know.
So Sliding Rule's about the freedom as a musician.
It's definitely, yeah, it provides a kind of complementary other side for me. And another thing I like about it a lot is the idea that I'll sort of not play a set thing every time. It's definitely kind of semi-improvised and, you know, sort of mixed with songs, but not set songs.
So have you been taking Sliding Rule out and about?
A little bit.
What have you been doing?
I actually didn't have any equipment for, like, all of my equipment got stolen in July last year. And
you're smiling.
Yeah. I'm smiling because I've got it back now. But yeah, it got stolen in July, and sort of I slowly started replacing the stuff, and that got stolen as well. It was only very recently, thanks to some pretty angelic actions, that I ended up with a whole new set of equipment again. So only recently have I been able to start playing like that again. Although for this sort of show now, I'm not actually going to play with that stuff. I'm going to play straight up simple songs with just a voice and a guitar.
Okay, well, that'd be great. So you'd want to do it now?
If you'd like me to.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Okay. Sinners, take my bed. And your bloodied minds, your lovers for tonight. But I don't see love here. You've convinced yourselves that every touch is right, and that this will bring you closer to God. And if you dream of hell, don't wake up. And sinner, take my cup. With your childhood dreams, I have filled it up, so that this may bring you closer to God. And if it tastes like hell, swallow up. Devil spoke, with conviction said he knew him well. The fingers he took, with a gentle hand, he laid her down. He said, this will bring you closer to God. And if it feels like hell, don't look up. No hallelujahs come for us. So kiss me your angel touch. So bless me with your angel touch. Thank you. The lovers, they woke. Two hollowed hearts and silent stare. Renitions, they look. Two mirrors reflect their infinite despair, that this we lost forever to love. And then in times like how we fit up, oh, hallelujah's come. For us, hallelujah's called for us, hallelujah's called for us.
Whoa, that was fantastic. Thank you very much. What was that song
That's
called?
Okay. Well, it's called Devil Spoke at this point. But my titles do have a habit of changing a lot. So,
what's it about then?
Working title. Actually, it was a guitar piece that I was working on for quite a while. And then something happened one night where I just saw two people kind of unite in a sort of self-delusion that they were sort of not giving in to their lust, but doing something that was almost godly in their mind, and really didn't seem to be to me as well. And it sort of left me feeling really frustrated when I just saw this happening, and I kind of like, it wasn't, you know, like that I had any particular sort of relationships with either of them, but I knew that they had relationships with other people.
Oh, right.
And I ended up just feeling quite sort of boiled under my skin, if you know what I mean, and went home and picked up the guitar and it all just came out. And so a lot of the time with songs, it's not really that literally word for word they're about an event or about something that I've felt, but I kind of think of it as... you know, the seed of the song might be like a truthful sort of experience. Well, an experience that's come from reality, but then kind of the bit that kind of you water it with is your imagination. So it's kind of slightly to do with that event and then slightly gone off into its own little world as well.
Okay, so you're very creative, obviously. Like, have you always been like this? Did your parents bring you up like this? They allow you the freedom to be poetic and creative, or did you have to fight them to not be a doctor?
Yeah, it's definitely been an interesting ride. My sort of parental hopes for me were pretty different to sort of what the musical course entails.
Are they quite traditional Iranians?
Well, I was actually brought up by a single parent, my mother.
Okay.
And
was she doubly traditional to make up for it then, like mine?
I don't know, no, not you know, not particularly traditional. I mean, obviously she sort of, you know, like, I mean, at home we'd speak English and Iranian, and I think generally speaking how we conducted our lives was a sort of equal mix of the two as well. You know, there'd be Iranian food and English food, and and although at one point when I was about 4 or 5, I kind of went to sort of Saturday afternoons Iranian school to learn the language, I never really sort of knew how to read or write it, or, you know, like, sort of knew much about the traditions as I was growing up. But I think in terms of, like, mentality, there's always going to be something. And my uncle was a musician in Iran, and he also sort of kind of fell in with the wrong crowd and stuff, and ended up kind of getting really involved in a lot of drugs and stuff and died as a result of that. Oh, so sorry. I think in my family there was always this
wary,
sense
being
that,
wary,
yeah. Yeah, that music led to things like that. So,
to demise.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's a pretty understandable thing, but it went kind of a bit extreme in my household. So there were times where, you know, the things that I wanted to do, which did involve kind of music and various other creative pursuits, were a total clash with what sort of hopes were held for me.
Naturally,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, there were kind of times that, you know, I could bore you with, but essentially... Mm. Some definite kind of detachments went off and periods where, you know, sort of like we wouldn't speak and, you know, we were totally living separate lives because of my choices. But then now it's all kind of come back and there's been a lot more acceptance and I guess...
How does your mum enjoy your music now?
Yeah, she does. I mean, I think she always did. Mm. It's just... I mean, she's really musical as well and really artistic, and I think in like her side of the family it was really running strong. I think there were just sort of things that she wanted, you know, like, which were quite different thinking to me, I suppose. And
so how much of your being Iranian informs your work, do you think? I mean, it's hard to tell because obviously it's all you.
It's pretty hard to tell. I know that I can't stand traditional Iranian music. I really just can't. I used to run out of the room every time it came on when I was a kid. But I mean, you know, maybe it's had some sort of effects because, you know, it's definitely...
Well, I think using dulcimer spoons, what do you call them?
Yeah,
those hammers.
Yeah, the hammers.
That
was just... something that I actually discovered round a friend of mine's house, James from a band called Sea Change, which has nothing to do with any sort of Iranian, you know, kind of roots. I just discovered the dulcimer, thought, what the hell is this amazing instrument? And then found out it was like Persian origin. And I then found out that my aunt in Iran like had a really nice one that no one was using. So
yeah, what happened? Like, they sent it over?
Well, yeah, like when my mum went to visit, like she got it.
She took a big empty suitcase.
Yeah, I guess so.
So I just wondered, when you were a child, what was your mum listening to? Was she listening to only traditional Persian music, or was it a whole mixture of things?
I think there was a huge mixture.
Was she into Cat Stevens? What was she listening to?
I remember looking in the records that she had, and you know, it was pretty varied, and there was lots of like Paul McCartney and Stevie Wonder and stuff like that in there. But then, you know, like she did really enjoy her sort of, you know, like stuff that she'd listened to in Iran or whatever as a teenager when she was young, and every so often, you know, she'd sing it at the top of her voice, and those were the moments where I'd probably like run downstairs and out the house, you know, like yeah, it wasn't really my thing, and I think I've always had a slight sort of aversion to it. But you know, maybe.
Do you think you'll ever go back and visit? Do you think you might go there and visit? Or
I'd love to. I'd really love to. I mean, it's definitely not felt like the right time for me yet to go back. But I think, sort of, you know, when it does, I'll really enjoy going back, and not only sort of, you know, seeing where my family has grown up and all that kind of stuff, but I think it'd be pretty interesting just going and sort of seeing so much about this country I've heard loads about, and the actual sort of civilization and culture of it's been really interesting to me over the last few years. So, you know, to be able to go back and see that would be quite special, I think. Although I do think it would be pretty strange being in a street or a town where everyone around you is Iranian. I think that would be a very strange concept.
Because you're used to sticking out, yeah. You do look so Iranian, and with your beard and everything, you know, it's just, right. It's fantastic. But I understand how you feel, because when I see an Iranian, I automatically realise that that person's an Iranian. And yeah, they're all surprised that I know as well. Even if, you know, with the varied noses and faces and so on, for some reason I always know. So the idea, of looking around and seeing everybody looking like they could be my relation, I think I would feel very freaked out as well. And I can't speak the language.
Yeah. I mean, for me, like, the sort of, you know, current stuff that's been going on in the last 25 years has definitely been what, you know, I kind of consider to be a black page in what I know of its history. And so, like, my kind of hopes for it to see change, and I kind of find myself sort of like looking it up all the time on the internet and seeing how it's going with all the sort of political crap that's being thrown back and forth between politicians.
But
it seems like the last few years it kind of stepped back a bit, and I'm sort of hoping that in the next year or so it's going to sort of...
Well, you carry on singing like that. I mean, they've just had Christa Berg over there and worked for the first time in the ring. And you could possibly appeal to them. I think they love singer-songwriters who are, you know, earnest men poets. You know.
Yeah, maybe I will grow my facial hair for it.
No, he's perfectly well-shaved. There's nothing to do with that. It's the poetry and the kind of... They spoke about it. I've read quite a few forums where they're discussing why Christa Berg, of all musicians, was allowed to go back there and perform live. You
right.
know? And it's the first time in years that anyone's collaborated with a Western musician as well. And the main thing is that in his videos, it's always very kind of respectful to the women. You know, they're not exploited. There's not loads of dancing girls for no reason and all that kind of thing. And his lyrics are also very resonant with what is essentially a very poetic nation. Not to say that he's the most poetic person out there, but for some reason I think, you know, maybe everyone they likes died, or you know,
well,
or Paul Simon changed too much, you know, or I don't know,
maybe.
Yeah,
well, I mean, I can definitely see how some of his music would kind of sit well with, you know, kind of people that like Iranian music. I mean, it definitely has that sort of emotional core thing going on.
Well, like, look, we really look forward to watching your career and seeing which direction it goes in. It's all blank page at the moment. And good luck with Hush the Many and Sliding Rule.
Thanks.
And please stay in touch. Come back another day.